Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Jefferson City Jays. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Trevor Hahn of the News Tribune. Before Trevor and I start to mix things up this week, let's listen to a little bit of Trevor's conversation with Jays head coach Damon Wells.
Well, we'll bounce back to last week real quick. So that was the first time we've kind of seen the offense go stagnant there in the second half. So is that something you dive into the film to see what goes wrong, or is that something you just kind of throw out the window as an outlier?
No, we absolutely want to learn from every situation. So we were able to identify some things, I hope, and improve the execution, and we'll continue to get better.
So moving into Hickman this week, it's an offense that's kind of found their footing. They didn't score a point in the first two games and then put up over 25 the last three games. So just what have you noticed from them on film and what they like to do?
Athletic. They're very athletic on both sides of the ball. And you're right. I agree that it seems like offensively they know they're going to run a little read option, that you know, totally willing to spread you out and run the football, but athletes all over the field, so they do like to spin it a little bit and see if they can beat you with big plays.
So it hasn't been like the perfect start for you guys this season, but there's still some goals in front of you. So just what goals do you think you guys could reach still this year?
I don't. We just want to get better today. That all of our focus is on today.
All right, that was Jays head coach Damon Wells. And Trevor, I guess it was just, you know, too bad of a second half for the Jays last week in that 28-7 loss to Capital City.
Yeah, and that's kind of turned into a trend for them of late. In their three losses so far this season, it's been the second half that's bit them in all of them. This was definitely the low point, though. They didn't get a first down. Outside of the first drive of the second half, they didn't really get close to getting that first down. So it just kind of all unraveled for him very quickly there, and Capital City got the big win that they were looking for. So
there was that big fourth down stop early on in that third quarter, and it almost seemed like that was just such a deflating moment for them. It was almost like after that point, things just got, I mean, it was like all the air got sucked out of the room.
Yeah, they were up 7-0, headed into halftime. They get the ball coming off half. That's right where you want to be.
Sure.
Any coach would pick to be in that situation. So, yeah, they get aggressive, looking to go get that touchdown and go up two scores. And they had third and one. I think they ran up the middle on that play and it got stuffed. So they tried sort of a jet sweep kind of thing on fourth and one. And, yeah, it went backwards. And then first play for Capital City's a touchdown right after that.
Right.
So momentum not only shifted a lot.
Right.
So, yeah, that was kind of the turning point in the game. And then from there, it just kind of – the ball just kept rolling downhill. And it got kind of ugly there towards the end. But, they keep saying that they're going to rebound, and I do believe them. So I think that page is turned.
I just kind of wonder about, you know, that's one of those games where you feel like at that point in the game when that happens, it's still 7-7. You feel like, okay, you get the ball back and you're going to respond. But it just seemed like there was just nothing that could happen after that. And you almost go, I don't know if it just gets to be, like you say, sometimes things just snowball and it's just hard to, you know, get that thing stopped once it starts going in that direction. But I just kept thinking, It can't just keep going all Capital City's way, but it did. And that's the thing, I guess, as a Jay fan, you're probably a little bit upset about it. It's like, we got to do something to put a stop to this, and it just never seemed like anything could put a stop to it.
It's almost like once it started happening, it's like, oh, we've seen this before.
Sure.
Because of the other two losses, it's been a lot of the same thing. So I don't know what needs to happen. I guess they need to have one of those adversity games where they overcome it.
Right.
So when it hits the next time, they know they can do it.
Sure.
Because, yeah, it seemed like once it started spiraling, it was more of a, oh, here we go again. Than
right.
Like, oh, let's stop this.
Right.
So, yeah, the air on the sideline was definitely completely gone and probably earlier than it should have been. But, yeah, tough loss, but they should be able to rebound this week, hopefully.
So it puts the Jays at 2-3 overall now, 1-2 in the CMAC. I guess the good news is if you're looking for a bounce back game, you go to Hickman tonight, 7:00. You know, it's a 1-4 QPs team that's 1-3 in the CMAC. So you look at it and go, okay, that's at least maybe a team where you can get right against somebody like that. But I also feel like, I don't know if you're Jeff City at this point, I don't know that you take anybody lightly, but if you're looking at the schedule simply going, who out of our opponents would we maybe like to have this week, this is a pretty good one to have this week.
Yeah, it definitely is a good opponent to have this week. I don't think they're taking them lightly at all. It does seem like they believe this will be a challenge, and I do think it'll be a fairly difficult challenge for them because it is a bigger school. They are athletic. And they seem to have found their footing of late. They didn't score in their first two games, and I think they're averaging 31 points over their last three. So, I mean, that offense is definitely going to be a tester for them. They're athletic. They run a lot of the things that's given the Jays troubles in the past. So, it'll be a test, but like you said, this should be a get-right week.
If we had had this game a week ago, I would have felt maybe better about the Jays' ability to maybe outscore the QPs in a game where you need to win. Because, you know, if you look at their scores through the first 4 weeks, you're looking at, you know, 41, 28, 27, 42. All good numbers, all things you like to see, and then comes the 7 from last week. So what was it about last week that only ended up in the 7? Was there anything that you saw where, oh, if we had just hit on this play, or maybe this thing just didn't go right, or they weren't able to do this? Was there any one thing that stood out, or was it just a matter of they just didn't do anything and enough things right to score more than 7?
It did seem like Capital City was making it a statement to try and contain everything. Because what the Jays have been able to do a lot this year is get outside the tackle box and get their playmakers in space and let them go to work. Okay. There in that second half, Capital City had people outside and contained them inside and made them run to where there's more bodies. And they didn't really have an answer for that. And the kind of thing to worry about is now that's on film.
Right. Coaches, that was my next question. If now somebody has seen that, well, guess what? You're going to have a lot of imitators from this point on.
Yeah, because it's a copycat league is a term in the NFL, but that carries on for all levels of sports. Once one coach sees something that's effective, they're going to try the same thing until you have an answer for it.
Right.
So, I mean, Coach Wells prides himself and the whole coaching staff on being prepared for all situations. So I would expect them to have some sort of answer watching that game back on film. Like, maybe we could have done this, maybe we could have done that. So I'm definitely intrigued to see what they show this week because it's probably going to be a little different.
But I guess as someone who's seen them now a lot of games this year, it's easy to say, okay, well, we'd like to be able to do this a little bit better, or we'd like to be able to do this to free this up. How much freedom is there for that in the Jefferson City offense where you go, okay, obviously you know what you like to do. Is that conducive to trying different things? So if you do need to try to get outside more often, is that something that they are suited to do based on what they like to do?
Yeah, I mean, they have quite a few different running backs, and they all have different skill sets. And they like to use Rodney and Cantrell Jordan outside the tackles, running in space. And so I would expect them to be a little bit more involved this week instead of Garnett and Zane Wings kind of running in between the tackles and trying to play that smash mouth football, because Hickman does have a big and athletic front. That's something we talked about. So, I mean, and they've tried a lot of different things this year. Like, they continue to try and throw the football. It hasn't necessarily worked so far, but like we talked about, the schemes are there. It's just one thing, and what me and Wells talked about this week is it's different every week. Like, 1 week it was drops, 1 week it was pass protection, and last week was the first time it seemed like Jacob Wilson wasn't really putting the ball on target. So it can be a lot of different things for them. They just need to find a way to get all the puzzle pieces working together.
So as far then as you know, if the offense can get going and kind of get back to where it was a couple weeks ago, then the big question is, how do you slow down a Hickman team that all of a sudden seems like it's maybe figured something out? Because you look back and, okay, they got shut out their first 2 weeks. But like you mentioned, they all of a sudden scored 26, 29, and then 38. Some of that, I think, has to do with the fact that the 38 was against Smith Cotton, who is struggling this year. But you also go, well, they scored 29 against Battle. Now, granted, it was in a 47-29 loss. But you go, it looks like maybe Hickman is figuring something out on offense. So if you're the Jays on defense, what do you have to do maybe to slow down a team that looks like it may have started to figure some things out?
Yeah, I think you're completely right. Hickman likes to run a lot of read options. They have four different receivers that have over 100 yards receiving this year. So you don't exactly know where it's going to come from, but it's going to come down to tackling in space like we've talked about nonstop. And last week was the first time coming out of that. It's like, well, they made a significant they did significantly better tackling in space. I mean, Capital City doesn't get a lot of the people in space outside the tackles. They like to run it down your throat, but they were gang tackling it. They weren't just relying on one or two guys to go out there and make a tackle, which was really pleasing to see. So yeah, I mean, this is going to be a bigger test because they're going to run a lot of misdirections and read options, and it's going to not only be about just your ability to tackle, but your ability to see things that are coming ahead.
Right.
So I'm intrigued to see how they do and if they take the next step from the step they took last week. So I big positives. Let's see if it carries over, though.
Absolutely. We've kind of reached the more than halfway point of the season now. We're, you know, 5 games through a 9-game regular season. I don't think 2-3 is where they wanted to be at, but they are where they're at right now. There are some winnable games in front of them. I think it's one of those things where you go, okay, yeah, maybe the conference season hasn't worked out maybe the way you thought it would have, or maybe you didn't think there'd be those struggles. But if you look at it, yes, this week's a winnable game. You hope that you get this one to even your record at 3-3. The problem is then you're kind of looking at, you know, you're looking at Helias and Battle, which are two teams that you go, okay, neither one of them's going to be an easy thing. But this can be kind of one of those springboard games where you go, okay, if you don't get this game this week, then all of a sudden you're looking at 2 weeks of tough ones where all of a sudden, okay, if you're not heading the right direction before those, then all of a sudden things could get worrisome in a hurry. So how much pressure do you think is on the Jays this week to come out and get a win this week against Hickman?
Yeah, I think this game's extremely important because obviously Helias next week, everyone knows that's not going to be easy. That's a game that they struggled with in years past, at least recently. And then Battle, they also are an athletic team that it might give the Jays some problems. And then they close against Moberly. So, yeah, if you lose this game, it could spiral and you might see a losing streak. And you never know what happens confidence-wise and those type of things. So getting right this week is extremely important. And just to show this young team confidence of like, hey, it might be a Class 6 school, even though they are struggling, we can go up there and we can take care of business. And then get that confidence into a big game against Helias where you never know what could happen in those type of games. So yeah. I do think this is extremely important on tonight.
So if you do have a game that's important to get right, what helps you get right is if you have all your weapons in your arsenal. How's the health of the team looking coming into this one? Because sometimes that can make a difference about what you're able to do too.
That was a positive from last week. If you want to look at that, they came out unscathed from that game, so they should be at full strength tonight. And that'll be really important because I think this is going to be kind of those grueling, wear you out kind of games like we saw last week. So depth will be definitely a factor to watch out for.
All right. I guess I'll just ask it simply. Who gets the win tonight, the Jays or the QBs?
I got to roll with the Jays. Hadn't thought about score yet. So we will go with a little bit lower scoring than people would think. We'll go 28-21.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Trevor Hahn, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Trevor Hahn on Twitter at TrevHahn3. That's TrevHahn3. Thanks for listening.